Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. That's good. Next, I take an ice bath.
Ooh, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes.
Breakfast is raw liver.
Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Signos.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm Kim, and I am one of your hosts, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Anna and Christina.
Yay!
I get it!
Oh my god.
Killed that intro!
Yes, girl! God, I'm so proud of you.
So excited.
Guys, we are riding a high right now.
Oh my god, guys, we are like literally, we've been talking already for like 40 minutes and finally we were like, okay, we have to start.
I know.
Because we got on Zoom, we're like, we're like, I can't believe it. Oh, okay, yes, so if you haven't already guessed, we are talking about House of Sky and Breath, Crescent City 2. Which has officially happened in our lives, and it's amazing. Thank you, Sarah, for this gift.
Been waiting 2 years for this.
Years. I mean, I haven't, but you know.
Well, King has it, but.
Oh my god.
But now I'm right there with you. I'm with you in the trenches.
We're in it.
Waiting.
So this is going to act as your spoiler warning, listeners. If you have not checked in on our Instagram, on the breakdown of House of Sky and Breath episodes, this is how we are doing it. Mm-hmm. We have only read part one and part two of this book. There is a third part. We have not read it. We do not know what happens.
Nope.
So you are getting our thoughts, our feelings, our theories without knowing the end game here. Okay? So.
Yeah. So if you finish the book and you hear us say something and you're like, that's wrong. Well, that's because we don't know that yet. We don't know.
We don't know. And let me tell you, your resident sleuth Anna has a lot of theories and I am probably wrong about most of them, but I would rather throw everything out there and be wrong.
Yeah.
And like, maybe something will stick.
Yeah.
So again, spoiler warning for part one and part two, not for part three. If you are reading along, feel free to listen to this episode, even if you haven't finished the book.
Yeah.
Because like I said, there is no spoilers for the ending. We do not know what happens.
Also, spoiler warning for Throne of Glass.
Yes.
Some stuff about Throne of Glass. Because I have a couple like tie-ins that I noticed.
Got it. Yeah.
That reminded me of scenes. I don't think it would ruin anything, like, what I have to say. It's just, like, a quick little tie-in, like, just quotes that were very similar between the series.
Like, if you want to know nothing about Throne of Glass at all, like, maybe this is a touchy point, but, like, and we'll give you a little, like, oh, P.S. Throne of Glass, and you can skip.
Yeah, and you can just fast forward, like, 30, 40 seconds.
Sure.
But I just want to tell you guys, I'm here in Houston for my sister's bachelorette party. And shout out Emma.
Hey, Emma.
And she is as big of a, like, master nerd as all of us, and she's reading the book and she is almost done, and I am like literally walking around the house on eggshells. Like, if she's reading her Kindle in the living room, I'm like, you need to go, like you cannot look at me, don't make a face, I don't want to see any like thing, like if you're gonna cry, I'm gonna need you to like quietly leave the room, and don't cry until you're in the privacy of your bedroom. I don't want to know anything.
I cannot see you cry.
And she's like,
she's, I will read like, into every chair.
Anna, you are so dramatic. And I'm like, I realize this, but
yet here we are.
I mean, of all of us, Anna cares, like, the most about spoilers.
Oh. Yeah, guys, if you're reading our stories or our, like, posts, I'm the one, Anna, I'm the one who's like, do not spoil anything.
Don't be like Sabine!
I will hunt you down.
Oh, God.
Because I don't even want to know what Bryce had for breakfast.
Right.
I don't want to know.
You know, we love that about you.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, let's jump into the freaking prologue, which we could do a whole episode on.
Oh,
truly.
Good lord.
Truly.
So much happens in this damn prologue. I was like.
The first line.
Yeah, first line. I was like, first of all, who the hell is Sophie?
Where are we?
Yeah, where are we? Who's
Sophie? I'm going to be honest. I thought this was hundreds of years ago. And then all of a sudden, Therian pops up, and I was like, we're looking for Sophie? Isn't, like, she dust now? Like, doesn't she, like, it was, like, hundreds of years ago, Therian. And she, it's, like, 2 weeks ago, and I was like, misread that timeline.
No. Whoopsie.
But, yeah, so,
I was stressed.
Oh, me too.
I was
stressed. The first line is, like, Sophie had survived in the Kavala death camp for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Like, we're in a death camp.
What death camp? Sophie?
Also,
where are we at?
We are jumping into the heaviness.
Sarah gives us
no breaks in this book.
No.
Like, I was literally like, we would be texting each other and we'd be like, oh, this chapter's really stressful. And I'm like, dear God, we just got, oh, can we just, can I have a break? And Sarah was like, no, shunt.
I need a Jelly Jubilee scene.
Oh, yeah. Where's the sparkly Pegasus? You know, sometimes just throw it in. Just throw it in there. I will say, and it's very different compared to book one, where we thought the like first one or two parts were so set up that I was like, this is the first Eshayan book I haven't been like immediate page turning, because it's a lot of setup. Yeah. And it was all to get us here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
So that now we're here in the world.
She just dived right in.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about, where we are.
Sophie.
Okay, so we're in the prologue. Sophie. Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, my first reaction was I started laughing. I was like, this is the name we came up with? Thunderbird?
I thought that too! Yeah, I was like, not my this favorite. Doesn't sound cool.
It doesn't sound cool.
Like an old-timey car from Greece.
Yes.
So, like, I was like, you know.
Grease lightning.
Yeah.
It's giving Grease.
It's giving me Grease. Yeah. It's giving me Pink Ladies. So I feel like, you know, after a minute, I got used to it. And now I think it's, you know, it's cool and all.
Yeah, but I think it's fine.
It did take me out. But I was like, oh, okay. Sure. Thunderbird. Okay.
Sure.
Is she also a bird? Can she shapeshift?
Okay, so like what? Okay, so her power.
Yeah.
So she can just like control all currents of like energy.
So it's right. I'm still a little unclear.
Good question. I'm
sure we're gonna. I feel like we could spend a lot of time like talking about this, but I'm sure we're gonna learn more at some point. So I don't want to like. Okay. So, but at this point, it seems to be like energy, like what we would consider electricity, what they call first light. But also that's really similar to what Bryce can do because she has first light.
Yeah. So it's very similar. Eerily enough.
But then also kind of seems like Hunt.
Like Hunt, exactly.
Yes.
I don't know.
Also, does Emil have the same powers as her or are his different?
My understanding is that he is also a Thunderbird but could be possibly more powerful.
Okay.
Yeah, than her. Okay. Which she already seemed the powerful.
Yeah. But she made the drop and he hasn't made the drop.
Oh, that's true.
Which, okay, I didn't realize how backwards Pangaea was.
Yes.
Like, they didn't really discuss that in the books. Like, I knew it was like a war-torn country and like they don't, like, when Baxian and, you know, Pollux and all them arrive, like, they don't know, they speak differently. They don't know what, like, video games or cell phones. It's like very, very stuck. And
very
like,
weird.
Which is curious as to like, why in this world is that so different when they still have archangels and
yeah,
I don't know, it's just it's cool, it's interesting to read, and like I'm really curious. I don't know how this obviously ends, but like I'm curious to see if we end up in Pangaea in one of these books.
Oh,
would not be surprised.
I don't really want to go there, but I do understand
don't want to vacation there to. But
I don't really want to. Yeah, I agree. That whole scene just with like her running and collapsing on the dock,
God,
and then
so
the
stressful.
Omega boats come out and like,
oh, and then Silver. Okay. Mm. So she gets, you know, Emil and the kids and stuff.
Right.
And then Silver immediately you're like, oh, they're in love. Like he touches her face. It's like such a subtle thing he does. I don't remember what it is, but I was like, oh, immediately they're in love. Like, you know,
immediately.
And I think it's like, it's a hand touch. It's a face touch. Or
something. It's like a caress.
I think it's like love a caress.
And he like showed up to save her.
Yeah.
And she gives him like a final look and she's like, I hope with that final look that like all of my like feelings were expressed.
Yeah.
And I was like, but were they?
Oh my God.
Once we find out it's Cormac, I'm like, but do you? Did you really?
Did you? You could have told him.
Did you do enough with the look?
Also, like, Cormac, I know you had to get the boat and all, but just jump out.
Yeah, and then oh my God, like, that whole thing.
Oh, the children got me.
I know.
That was really hard.
Like, it just had this whole imagery of, like, the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Like,
for sure.
The children and, like, them being so emaciated and...
I think that was on purpose.
Well, the fact that they're called death camps.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty clear...
It was like a very hard to read prologue. Again, jumping into the heaviness. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a quote really quick.
Yeah.
It's about Throne of Glass, but it's not a spoiler. It's on page 2. And, you know, so essentially Sophie is working for the rebels and she's done all of these things. She's done whatever they've wanted for the Ophian rebels just to get information about her brother, just to get to this death camp, just to save him.
Yeah.
And like, she has done all of this for her brother. And she says she didn't let herself think about what she'd done in return for that information, the spying, the people she'd killed to collect whatever intel Ophian wanted. These things weighed on her soul like a leaden cloak.
Mm.
And that to me was very Selena.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Totally. Totally.
Like, yeah. How there's that shame and that guilt about, like, yes. the things that yeah. she's done, even though she really had no choice. Like,
yes, yeah. like, you have
Sophie
to
did it all for her brother, and, like, she, you know, I just, yeah. I was like, ooh.
And you get that also from, like, Hunt when he talks about, like, the things yeah. he had to do, and...
Yeah, that's very true.
There are so many quotes of him just remembering, like, whenever the war comes up, and his reluctance to, like, even be a part of, like, helping to find Emil, totally. Because... he just knows. He knows the worst case scenario.
Yeah. He does.
He knows what can happen. And he doesn't want it to happen to Bryce.
Exactly.
And he doesn't want to end up a slave again.
Yeah. Because it did not go well the first time.
It didn't go well.
They rebelled.
Didn't go well.
Not ideal. But yeah, no, that was all really very stressful. But I think she also did a really good job of painting the picture and setting the scene.
Yes.
Where
right.
when it ended, the prologue ended, I was like so upset and also... so like riveted that actually uh-huh. jumping to the plot I was expecting when I opened the book of Bryce, I was like, wait, yeah. what? No, I love you, Bryce, but hold on. What happened here? Like, yeah, like you know,
what,
yeah.
what
yeah.
happened with Sophie?
Yeah. yeah. So this brings us to the CCB and sculptures because.
Yes.
Oh.
So when we're in the ballet, they're like looking at these art exhibits, blah, blah, blah. There's two big sculptures or paintings or something that like pop out that I want to bring up.
In the lobby. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one is the making of the sword, and the second one is like a soldier that's masked on horseback. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about them out of order a little bit. So the soldier who's like, you can't see the face, mm-hmm. but they're on like this flying Pegasus type thing. I don't know what else mm-hmm. to call
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like the amount of times that we've like talked about Jelly Jubilee and like the Pegasus thing.
It is. Yeah. It's definitely a thing that the person's on a Pegasus, not like a regular horse. Like, I feel like, if yes, nothing else, right. just to tell us that they're real in the world, or they were in back in the world, or something, with the Fae.
Yes.
Or something.
And I'm wondering if it's yeah. just based on, like, Bryce's, if it's somehow going to come up with Bryce, because we don't see this masked soldier, right? We don't know. She makes a point to say we don't see the person's yeah. face in this painting, yeah. or whatever it is.
Okay.
So, the only other big person in history that I can think of that we don't know is, like, Helena's sister, who is... that we don't, nobody knows what happened to yeah. her.
Uh-huh.
That's just a theory I have that like she might
interesting. I don't know.
It was obviously. Definitely, it felt very much like, oh, here's what we've been doing the past 3 months as I like banter with my mother and text Hunt. Also, mm-hmm. P.S. these statues are important. Just readers.
Totally.
Well, yeah, and we know Sarah doesn't just drop things.
No.
Like she never says, like, well, like the anvil with the hammer and the Fae guy comes up later when, during the Under King.
Yeah. Also, wait, and isn't that Thur? Isn't that the making of the sword?
So no, Thur? It's a Fae. No, so it's the making of the sword, but they describe it as a Fae male. Now, could that change? Like, could that, like, you know, is that like history being rewritten? But in the book, it's described as a Fae male yeah. with his arm outstretched yeah. with the hammer getting lightning and the anvil below yes. him and like assumingly like going to bring it down to make the sword.
Yes. Okay.
The star
yes,
sword.
Yes, yes.
And so...
and it's making the sword.
Thur, yeah, we do see, like, when Bryce is, like, working in the Fae archives or something, she calls Jezebel because she has that statue
the, like,
of Thur.
Bust of, uh-huh. of Thur.
Yeah. The bust, yeah. And that's, like, that's where you get, like, the little kind of quote about him being this, like, long-forgotten storm god deity. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, then later on there's a little bit more history about, like, how he was, like, it was, like, his own planet he, like, was the king of.
Right.
And which Hunt is giving me major Thur vibes.
Totally. Well, also,
oh, for sure.
So, okay, but also the making of the sword statue, it's like, you know, the guy with the hammer and the thing, whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's that one that she takes a picture of and sends it to Hunt and says, long last relative of yours, like, because of his abs. But it's also like,
yeah.
and also the lightning. Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Good, Anna. Good.
Anna's doing the lightning. Like she's being yeah, the statue in a really great way.
She's reenacting it for us. Yeah.
5 stars.
Cheers.
10 stars.
I feel like I have a pom-pom.
Okay.
Yeah. And go.
But yeah, so it very interesting with the statues and how they relate to the power. I mean, granted, I'm still just, I feel like I've learned about their powers mm-hmm. and I've mm-hmm. also learned nothing and have all these questions still. So
yeah, 1,000,000%.
Yeah,
100%.
Does Hunt and Bryce have powers that we don't understand?
Yes.
Is this all speculation at this point?
Yes. 100%.
Yes. Will we know more at the end of this book? One would hope.
We don't know.
One would hope.
I don't think so. Actually, I'm going to say it right now. I don't think so. I think we're going to leave. Be like, well, that is crazy. What they can do? What can they do? I don't know. I don't know what they can do.
And yeah. Fan theories episode number two.
Well, speaking of Bryce and Hunt, let's talk about them.
Okay.
Let's talk about our main couple.
Guys,
our
I'm very happy with where they are at this point. I feel like I'm very happy with what's happening.
I was very, very nervous when Cormac stormed in.
Oh my God, Cormac!
And was like, I'm here to see my bride. And I was like, no, you're not.
No, you're not. they've been through
smite him.
Enough.
Please smite him now.
I think all of us are like, No.
You back
they
up.
Have been through enough.
Let them be happy.
No, we are going to die on this hill that they are endgame, which now
they
as
are.
We've gotten to the end of part
they
two.
Are.
They are mates.
They are mates.
Very happy
which
about it.
We can save and get into it in a minute. But like, I love how
yes,
it went down.
Let's definitely so much to dive into
okay.
on that one.
Yeah, we love that they're mates.
We have, yes. Okay, so let's talk about Bryce and her power a little
okay.
bit, because this is obviously we left off at the end of book one and we knew that she inherited all of this power from the Gates, right? Like she
yes.
has surpassed the Autumn King and she also is starborn, which like basically just blinds people. So whatever.
Which is like,
right.
which is useful. It comes in handy.
It's helpful.
But okay. So it lights up randomly.
Oh my
which
God.
Is a little inconvenient.
So this is why? When does it light up? Why does it light up? I started tabbing
what?
It every single time it lit up. And then
yes.
but none of them, none of it correlates.
It's not, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, you can't find, okay, so I missed a few, but when I have noticed that it lights up, I'm wondering if it's kind of like, almost like a instinctual thing, like it's talking to her, like
okay.
it's warning her, or it's not warning her, but like telling her that like this is truth or this is important, or
yeah.
because like it lights up when Cormac comes into her office and he's looking at the Thur,
okay.
and then it lights up like when Hunt is talking about them running away to Nenna, which is like the town or the
yeah,
world
yeah.
where
yeah.
Celestina
yeah.
was in charge. And Celestina, like, is obviously important. I feel like there's probably a lot more going on there than we know yet. And I'm
yeah.
just wondering if it's, like, some sort of, like, warning or beacon of, like, this is truth, this is important.
Interesting.
And it's, like, it's talking to her in, like, a way. Like, it
yeah,
lights up
just,
and she's got to learn how to read it.
It's definitely something she has to learn how to read. I know there's a reason, and I do
yeah.
think it's talking to her and us. I just don't know what it is. Like... It's also...
It just seems very all over the place. Like, there's no...
Yeah, like, it also
seem,
lights up when she's watching the ballet.
Yeah, see, that one didn't make sense to me, except that she was feeling, like, strong love from Hunt and,
yeah.
like, her mate.
Yeah.
So that was you. That's the only...
Yeah, I don't know.
But then
I don't
it's
know.
Like, I don't
it,
know.
It honestly feels like any sort of heightened emotion. And she's like, yep, well,
yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm this, I'm that. And it, like, glows. I also... It just...
Yeah.
You remember those Care Bears? When there's, like, a Care Bear and that little thing
yes!
lights up and it, like... flows like the light lights up. I think it's like,
wow, I have not thought about those in years. When you said it and I immediately was like 100%.
The cartoon and it's like all their little things
yep.
their hearts is like
yep.
boo and like shows this
yep.
light. That's what I picture sometimes when she
I bet
like,
that's where
up.
Sarah I bet that's where Sarah got it from.
Honestly I hope so.
100% from Care Bears.
So.
Yeah.
Care Bears. Bryce is our Care Bear.
That's
so
funny.
So yeah, so we just don't know any, like, we just don't know. We don't know about her powers. Everyone's like, oh, train. And she's like, okay, but like, how? What am I training?
Right.
But you know who I think does know about her powers and about everything going on? Jessica. I feel like Jessica
yes.
knows
oh.
everything. And she's just
she's
like,
Jessica
so
knows.
Dropping breadcrumbs.
She,
and I'm like, mm.
Yes.
I know.
But like, could you be more cryptic?
Yeah, I know.
Could you just not say what you mean and mean what you
just,
say?
Yeah.
Well, and she like, yeah, she's talking to Bryce and she's like, well, you know, I was a little bit worried when I found out that you were like, had the starborn power. And Bryce was like, well, why? Why would you be worried? It's like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, well, because I like. The way she talks is if she, it's as if she's like millennia of years old.
I think she
and
is.
And she's like, well, because... most of the time these chosen ones, quote unquote, succumb to like the allure and the power of being like the starborn, like the chosen
mm-hmm.
one.
Uh-huh.
And that she's like, I have been very like impressed, I guess, with Rune and his ability to like basically just be normal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she was like, I was worried when you showcased your starborn power that like it was going to corrupt you, which is really interesting because does that mean that like she has seen this happen in the past?
Oh, totally.
Where,
I
like,
think she's
it corrupts.
Ancient. I think she's so
because
old.
Like
very,
she just
very interesting.
She's missing from this book, or, you know, obviously of what we've read
conspicuously.
But then she just comes in with these nuggets.
She's busy with her books,
right? She's busy.
She's
booked
busy.
And busy. But then she
booked
gets on
and
the,
busy.
Oh, booked and busy.
I like that.
But then she gets on the phone and she's like, "Oh, bahahaha, like you peasants." And
yeah.
then you're like, "Wait a minute!" Like then she just like hangs up, and you're like, "Jessica, can we have a full on conversation?
Come on, girl." And then she's like, oh, well, what about this thing with Danica? And she's like, well, fucking finally you asked me that question. Jesus Christ.
Finally?
I like it, but
finally.
It's just so funny. Like, The dynamic of...
She's like, why do you think she was hanging around so much? Oh, and she's like, because she's my best friend. And she's like, uh-huh, that's cute.
Yeah!
That's cute.
She's like, oh, bless your heart. And I was like,
wait, what? Me too. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? And then sure
enough, God, we're going to get to Danica. We have so much to talk about with Danica.
All right, okay. Topic.
Oh, okay. So before we move on, I have two really quick quotes.
Okay.
Tell us.
I will. That gave me... Throne of Glass vibes.
Okay.
And I know that this is kind of, it may not be a big deal, but it's just because we're rereading the Throne of Glass series right now, it's been really fun. Yeah.
It's fresh in our minds.
Just like see it's little fresh. Tie-ins.
Yeah.
So there's a quote that Bryce says to Hunt, and it is almost verbatim of a scene between Selena and Kale. And they're just talking out on a balcony. And Bryce says, we were never going to be allowed to live like normal people. Bryce breathed. And Hunt ran a hand through her hair. Trouble was always going to come find us.
That is and so that is,
that
similar.
Is like almost word for word almost what word Selena word. And Kale wow. talk about.
I yeah, that's so true.
And I was like, oh.
Fascinating.
Okay. So Hunt is talking to Bryce and he says, but wherever you're headed when this life is over, Quinlan, that's where I want to be too.
Oh, I love that quote.
And that is very similar to something that Sam says to Selena in Assassin's Blade.
Oh, why didn't you think about that? Yeah.
Remember they have that really sweet combo?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, wherever you, because he like wants he's them to like, get out of the city and stuff. And I want to be where you are. And I was like, sweet.
Also, I love hearing it from Hunt too. Like, that's just such a sweet moment. But yeah, no, I really am happy with where they are in the book. I feel good about them and their place yes. as of now. Our two
yes.
our lovers. Our lovebirds.
Yes.
Our lovebirds.
Okay, what's next do we want
to
talk about?
Okay, so let's come back to them being mates and let's talk about the Bone Quarter real quick. Because like let's end on a happy note with them, but like let's talk about the underworld for a second, ooh, which was y'all. A trip.
Oh, this whole scene a was trip. Nuts. It was so
there
crazy.
Was so
like,
much.
So basically this whole like afterworld thing that like all of Midgard thinks happens is not actually what happens. Like you basically die and you go to the Bone Quarter and then like you wait a significant period of time until like basically all of your ancestors have forgotten you and then your soul is given back as first light, which they call second light because that's like you're giving back your energy, right. Which I understand it's very reincarnation-y like or very like energy doesn't die, it's just recirculated. Like I understand how it could be very beautiful, like it's a full circle,
but
it's a lot.
Yeah, like, also it's not like oh you're reincarnated as this other person and you get to live again. It's like no, you're powering a cell phone or a street light
and,
or like
and
a,
like the beautiful know, like, world that we saw Connor waving from
that was rough.
He's not there,
ripped away from us,
which when we did our theories episode we were like doesn't seem that bad over there. They seem so happy in their rolling hills.
We're like, oh, they seem so happy.
They waved.
It's worse. It's worse than we thought.
Was literally like, well, that was a comforting lie. You saw what you wanted to see. And I was like, how dare you?
It's a comforting lie for you mortals. Okay. Well, it was comforting. And that Band-Aid got ripped off.
Also, he's like, oh, and I just can't help taking a bite as they go back through. Oh, and then how he's talking about like, oh no, the whole like sailing thing is just you guys. Like we don't, I don't give a shit. Like it's not like who's worthy and who's not. It's like if they have enough power, then they don't.
Like Leheba, she's like, is Leheba here? And he was like, she was beneath us. Like basically like she's not worth
it. I know.
I was like, how dare
she
saved.
Are you kidding me? My friends are with me and I will not be afraid.
Stop, Anna, stop.
Said that
I was like smite him.
I was like kill him now.
Smite him.
Light him up, Hunt. And then there's a part where Rune is like, oh, I would have sacrificed my life for her too. Or like he was like,
when he's talking to Daybright,
he's like, oh yeah, he's like, I should have been there.
I should have sacrificed. And she's like, and Daybright's like, you would have sacrificed yourself for the Sprite. And he's like, of course, in a heartbeat.
Oh, what a sweet boy.
Rune.
He's sweetheart.
But, yeah,
my king. Like, I love you.
My king.
I think it was so upsetting to hear about like I mean, I can see why Bryce and Hunt would be so upset because it's been a comfort for them that like,
oh, of course.
Oh, our loved ones aren't really gone forever into the ether. Like they're in the sleeping
city. We'll see them again.
Like we'll see them again. We'll all be, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like heaven.
Exactly.
And you think like, okay, well, we're going to be reunited one day together.
Totally.
And for him to just be like, oh yeah, that's all bullshit. Like they're not here.
Yeah.
And I love how like Bryce, you've known since the last book that she exchanged her place in the Bone Quarter for Danica. And then like she's leaving and she's like, well, I'm not not that unhappy that I exchanged right. my place because this place sucks.
I had that same thought, Bryce. I was like, well, okay, well, that not. I'm no longer annoyed about that.
It's really sad because Hunt thought of his mom.
I know. I know. But no, that's exactly what it is, though, Kim. It's like, that's a comforting thought, you know, in grief and when you've lost someone.
I get it.
And then for like, that to be ripped away. And I think that's why Ethan is still so, like, I have to make sure where is my brother? Like, what's going on with him? Like,
totally.
And it still kind of, like, lingers the idea that, like, so hold on. Their souls are just, like, hanging out here. So if we could get their souls back before they become First Light, like, that's an option? Question mark?
I could see Ethan wanting to do that.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
It's and a bad getting, idea. Ooh. I don't think it should happen.
I think it's very convenient that we now know Hypaxia is a necromancer.
Okay, yeah. I was just going to say that because it's mentioned multiple times about necromancers.
Multiple times.
And I'm like, that's going to come into play. Like, totally. That's for sure, for sure going to go to her and try to convince her to, like,
bring back Connor.
Do something, yeah. Or Sophie.
Oh, Sophie.
So basically, let's talk about the big thing that happens in the Bone Quarter. So
there's a scary dog.
Fluffy the dog comes out. A little HP reference.
Yeah, a little HP reference for you there.
Yeah.
So the shepherd, aka this like dog that splits into three other dogs, which was terrifying. Bryce is like, why are you telling me all this? And Hunt's like, because he's not letting us live.
Yeah.
So anyways, so like the dogs show up and you know, it's not going well for our heroes. And,
No. You know, you'd think it'd be like, oh, use your power on these dogs. That's fine. Turns out not so easy.
So she has the sword. Rune lends it to her when she goes to the Ender King because he's like, this kills Reapers. You need this with you. And they get there and they're being attacked. Right. And she has her star sword. It gets taken from her. Hunt shows up and he's like, God is lightning. And she has the image of the sculpture from... Yeah. Chapter one, and she's like, just really fast thinking, Bryce, is like, we're conduits. Like, this sword is a conduit. It can act like the hammer. And he does his little lightning thing, and she, like, channels it into her sword, and it's, like, this badass moment.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And it was so cool.
It was so good. Cool. And he even later, Hunt later, is like, that was a risky little game you played. Like, I could absolutely just electrified you, and you would be dust.
Electrified you. And she's like, yeah.
And she's like, you didn't.
I didn't. It worked out. And there's so many like lines in that whole moment. That's when he looks at her and he says, light it up, Bryce. And it's
that got me.
Like he puts his hand, he like realizes that if Bryce can take the power from the gates, like she did in the first book, and he like puts his hand, he's like, why can't I take the second light?
Yeah.
He's like, if I can channel my power, and this is all goes back to what Apollyon, Prince of the Pit, told him, like, in his dream, like, you need to push yourselves. You guys have to train. You have to learn the extent of your powers.
Yes.
And it's like, and it's so great. He says, Bryce angled her sword higher, ready to fight until the end. Hunt gazed at her for a moment, an avenging angel in her own right, and then slammed his hand on the brass plaque of the dead gate. Light it up, Bryce.
Yeah, like,
beautiful.
I love it. I also love the imagery there in that scene of him talking about her as an angel and her visualizing him as a fae, like, of that statue. Like, it's like they're both seeing each other as the different,
interesting,
you know?
Christina.
I like that. I didn't catch that.
That's very interesting.
Which brings us to, like, Hunt's power. So he can use this thing as a conduit.
Yeah.
I'm getting very Thor from, like, you know, Marvel.
Oh, my God. The whole time. Literally, honestly, that's why I probably thought the statue at the ballet was Thor, because I was like, well, that's a statue of Thor from the Marvel universe.
So basically, Hunt is Chris Hemsworth in my brain now.
I literally was like, it's Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. Am I okay with that? Hell yeah.
Oh, of course
Hell
I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very here for a tall, dark, and, like, broody Hunt. Like, I love it. But, like, also, he's Chris Hemsworth now.
But also, Thor works, so, you know.
He is Chris Hemsworth with an accent, and no one can now tell me about it. Okay, thanks.
So I'm very curious to see if we learn more or if they take this to the next step. I'm sure at some point in the next few books, we're going to get there. But clearly, their conduits work in tangent, like, with each other.
Oh, totally. There's a reason that they're, like, you know, being told to train and told to learn their powers. And then there's a reason that it works so well together and, like, they are conduits.
Yeah. And it's, like, I just need you guys to, like, listen. Like, I understand the Prince of the Pit, like, you know, historically is, like, not your friend and Aedas. But, like... The kitty cat so far has been on our side. And
oh,
I think
my God, the
kitty
cat. Okay.
Which brings us to
Should
the
kitty
cat.
Should we talk about
cat.
Kitty cat? Okay, okay.
Okay.
So sexy Ada, demon
so
kitty.
You feel like he's a good guy. A good demon?
Prince?
What is he?
He's a demon. He's a demon. Yeah.
Prince of Hell.
He's a cat. He's Prince of Hell. He's I don't know. He's all over the place.
I don't know that he's good. I think he is morally
ambiguous. Great.
In the middle, yeah. Like ambiguous. But I
am in everybody average. Else in this book. I
yes,
tell you.
Everyone in this book. But I feel like his end game might not be known. But I don't get the impression. Like I think he's truthful when he says that he has no interest in like ruling this world.
Oh,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
So far. Yeah. That's how I feel.
Yes, I agree.
And I think though that the Asteri have done something horrible in the history of them.
Yeah.
That like he wants to see them overthrown.
Yeah. I think he's on their side on that realm. And I also think he's looking out for Bryce. I think there's a reason why.
Yes, I think he's looking out for Bryce.
Why
yeah.
do we think he's helping them?
I think because of Thea. I think because of her light.
Oh, okay.
And because
okay.
she has Thea's okay. light. And I also right, think he right. is like, fuck the Asteri and what happened back in the day.
Yeah.
Something happened and
yeah.
I don't know what it is, but.
True.
So yeah. Okay. Wait. Can we talk about when he's the cat? So they walk in and they're like, Therian's got his feet up on the couch and Ethan's like eating
no,
pizza.
He's like he says your cat's such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then Bryce was like, I don't.
That's not a cat.
And it's not a cat.
Yeah.
It's a prince of hell that you're stroking.
I just love that Adis is allowing.
Yeah.
Ethan to stroke him.
Like what?
I'm just imagining him like purring.
I wish he transformed to speak. I don't love the talking kitty cat.
Thank you. That's what I said.
I don't love it.
I was like, wait, was he a cat this whole the whole time he's speaking? Because I'm honestly taken out by that. Like
all of a sudden it says like and his paw flicked towards Bryce. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we're a cat. Forgot that you just gave an entire history of the like Fae and you're a cat.
We're a cat. We're Sabrina the Teenage Witch cat. We're like talking animatronic cat.
Literally.
Yes. Like I
don't like it.
Salem the cat. It took me a minute, and I really did love the reveal, or, like, the moment of Ethan being like, oh, your cat's a sweetie, ha-ha. Like, that whole thing, hilarious. I loved it.
Hilarious.
But I
hilarious.
Also wanted, when he, like, leapt off, to leap into a man.
Leap into a
to
man.
To just leap into a human.
Yeah.
Okay, so we learn a few really important things.
Yes.
In this.
Always. With him.
Always. Adis, like, dropping truth bombs.
He does.
Appreciate it.
He loves it.
He doesn't beat around the bush as much as the other... Princes of Hell and other
that.
Characters,
I
and I respect it.
You know,
I like
respect
it.
That.
Here for it. So one of the big things is Peleus sucks,
oh.
which
yeah.
we guessed based on our like, if you listen to our fan theories episode, we kind of thought he sucked.
Yeah.
And we weren't that far off from the truth. We were like, okay, clearly him and Helena have an unhappy marriage. What
right.
we didn't realize was that it was a forced marriage, and you
yeah.
know, trigger warning. If you've read the book, you've already heard this part, but like. He was raping Helena
yeah.
and forcibly, like, making her breed his children. And I didn't realize, though, that they married after he killed Thea. We knew he killed Thea based on, like, the epilogue from the last
yeah,
book.
Yeah, that was confusing.
Oh, okay,
to
so
me.
Wait, but then also the lost daughter. Let's talk about the lost descendant that's running around somewhere.
Yes, so
yeah.
he says Thea's other daughter got away, vanished into the night. I never learned of her fate. This
yeah.
girl is coming up. This is
she's
like, we've 100%. Brought her up now twice.
Yeah.
She's unnamed. Like, I'm telling you, it could be the chick in the first chapter in the piece of artwork riding the Pegasus. I don't know.
Maybe she's Pegasus girl.
I thought it
yeah.
was Sophie before she
Me
was
too.
Found dead.
I thought maybe
it
could
Sophie.
Be Sophie. Maybe she's Daybright. I don't know.
Oh.
But
literally anyone could be Daybright at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, literally. Jelly Jubilee could be Daybright.
He has this really interesting line. Like Bryce is like, well, why are you telling all of this?
Yeah.
And he says, because I was powerless to help then, I arrived too late and was vastly outnumbered. After it was over, that's when I asked my eldest brother for a favor to face Peleus on the battlefield and wipe him from the world. I tell you this now, Bryce Quinlan, so that the past does not repeat itself. Are you doing anything to help in this endless war?
What does that mean if the past doesn't repeat itself? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. And there's, and like, the other big thing, like, I'm sorry, this is, like, a lot of history, guys, but, like, this is, all of this is clearly going to come back
yeah.
up. And Adis only shows up once so far in this book.
I know.
So frustrating. And he says this other important shit, which I'm sure is going to come up later. The Asteri fed their lies to your ancestors, made the scholars and philosophers write down their versions of events under penalty of death, erased Thea from the record. That library your former employer possesses is what remains of the truth of the world before the Asteri and the few brave souls who tried to voice the truth afterward.
Right.
You knew that, Bryce Quinlan, and protected the books for years, yet you have done nothing with that knowledge.
Yeah, which is interesting, and I agree, I get it. Like, that's what kind of we thought the books were, too. But what's she supposed to do with it? Like,
yeah.
What the knowledge? theoretically.
Like, I feel like there's going to be some sort of catalyst. I mean, obviously Bryce helps so far through part one and part two to help find Emil and like all this shit. But I feel like there's going to be something that changes that makes her realize that she has to use her power for good.
Well,
in like a bigger way.
I mean, everyone's like, the war is coming. The war is coming. Get ready. You should be training. You should be training.
He says this wonderful line to her at the very end. Adis does. He says, people died so you could have this power. People have been dying in this battle for 15,000 years so we could reach this point. Don't play the reluctant hero now. That is the cliche.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that. Yeah.
I was like, I just kind of liked the no-nonsense, like this is bigger than you.
Yeah, totally.
But again, you're telling her all of this, and she, unless she knows something that, like, she's keeping, like, a deep, dark secret, how is she supposed to know how to react? Like, how is she supposed to know what to do?
What is she supposed to do with it? Like, okay, the Asteri's bad. Great, we knew that. Like,
who is she? Tell her what her power is.
Or like, oh, it's history's going to repeat itself. Like, okay, so people are going to rise up against the Asteri, and like, I don't understand. Like, give me details. Give me things, tangible things to do.
And like he says, the armies of hell are yours to command.
Oh,
like,
that was super interesting. What? That was interesting. It was like, excuse me, what? Why? How? Like, what am I commanding them to do? Why are they listening to me? And then he leaves and everyone's like, what just happened?
Oh, well, no, he leaves by outing Cormac as Agent Silver.
Yes. You're right.
And he's like, oh, hello, Agent Silver. And then just like pieces out. And everyone's like,
he pieces out.
Like, the way Adis says this, though, is like, Bryce growled, I don't even know any Ophion rebels. Adis stretched out his front paws, back arching. That's not true. Hunt stilled as the demon yawned. There's one right behind you. Bryce whirled. Hunt with her. Lightning poised to strike. Cormac Donnell stood in the doorway, shadows fading from his shoulders. Hello, Agent Silverbow. Adis crooned, then vanished. Like, what? Like, such a good reveal. It's so good.
Such a good reveal.
Fantastic reveal. I mean, come on.
A lot of stuff just happens back to back to back. Like, he's like, you know, oh, also, P.S., I'm nice and I love Sophie. Yes, like, you're like, what? Who are you? Yeah. What's happening? And then that's also when we get the reveal of Danica and Sophie. And Cormac goes, she and Sophie knew each other. She was the one who set up the safe place, wasn't it? You don't know any of that for sure, Hunt said. I do, Cormac said. It's why I agreed to marry Bryce. And you're like, what?
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
and like that's also when we find out that like Danica was probably the person who like put Sophie up to look up whatever this information is on the Asteri that could like possibly turn the tides of the war.
It says,
but then she died before Sophie got the information.
It says, I gathered, Danica needed Sophie to go in to get it, but it took Sophie that long to gain access. Danica died before Sophie could ever pass the information to her.
Like, Cormac, you sneaky, sneaky little guy. Which, listeners, by the way, if you haven't listened to the Audible, Cormac has a sexy Scottish brogue.
I have to say, that enhanced it for me. I listened to some of this book in Audible.
It enhanced his character quite a bit.
And I'm a fan of the Scottish accent, I have to say.
I love it.
It works very well with this character. He has this beautiful line, though, at the end of that chapter when, like, he gets revealed. And he says, this world could be so much more. This world could be free. I don't understand why you wouldn't want that. Hard to enjoy being free, Hunt countered darkly, if you're dead. Cormac opened the door, stepping into the swirling shadows. I can think of no better reason to yield my life.
Oh, Cormac.
Like, what a 180 from the guy who, showed up to Rune's party and was like, here to meet my bride.
Within, three pages. Like, literally, three pages. You're like,
it's
crazy.
His character keeps surprising you throughout the book.
Oh, totally. I'm really a
like
fan.
Teleporting to save Rune, which, hello, he teleports. And then, saving, you know, it's just like all the stuff he did and like his love for Sophie that you find out. And
that part is so heartbreaking.
So, Sophie, we find out, is really dead. And they found her body and they go and they see her. They've been holding on to her. And Therian basically says, I'm sorry if I gave you false hope, about Sophie, because he was the one that told him about, that the shackles had been broken and that, she could potentially have gotten away, which...
All signs pointed to her getting away.
And Cormac says, it kept her alive in my heart a little longer, he said. Aww. He pressed her stiff hand against his brow. My Sophie.
Oh, what a sweet sweetie.
So sweet. So touching, and what a masterful job that Sarah did, getting us to this point with him, where we started out like thinking he was disgusting, and like I did not like him totally. At first. And now I was like, oh my Sophie. Like I was in it. I was like, yeah, it's here for
I know. I was like, somebody hug this poor boy.
My God, somebody touch his shoulder. Give him a caress.
Come on,
like, a comforting hug.
Group hug, please.
Oh, a group hug would have been so nice.
That's the time, you know? Yeah.
That would have been the time. That would have been the time. That what would they call him, like, the little rebel family when he's like, all right, like, everyone.
Yeah.
Varian's like, all right. Okay, can we just be the good little rebel family we are and sit down and tell each other what the hell happened?
Share story time. I love that. So anyways, at the end of the scene, they're like talking about what they're going to do now because like they are just so royally fucked and they're enemies of like everybody. And, you know, Bryce says like some like smart ass line and Cormac is just like looking at Sophie, you know, and she said, so Bryce touched the prince's hand. We'll make them all pay, which is exactly what Selena says to Caltaine in Throne of Glass when they're in the cell together. And she, I mean, I know this is like a very generic line, but like but she touched her and said like, we'll make them pay.
Well, yeah.
And she like promises Caltaine that like that these people will pay for what they did to her.
Yeah.
And then like that moment, I mean, I know that might be kind of a reach, but when I read that, I was like, ooh, like, okay.
I just love that
line where he was just like, my Sophie.
Like, there's also a part where he's like, I didn't deserve her. She was good and kind and true. And like, oh God, it's so good. Really rough.
I like really don't want her to be dead.
Me either. I was really holding out hope she wasn't going to be. I still think we might bring her back to life with a necromancer. And then he's going to like bring her soul back from the dark side.
Yeah. I
was going to do it.
I was like, okay, maybe this isn't really her body, and like maybe she's like being held cat, like she's like really being protected somewhere else, and like this is just like,
this
a,
is
like
just
a fake
like a
body.
Fake Sophie that's dead. No,
yeah, that's definitely
like, so. Okay, and I
this is like where my brain is going.
You're like anything, just please. But no, I have to say also really crazy that she like dug like numbers and symbols into her arm when she was like sinking to the bottom of the ocean to get that message to someone.
Those?
But if you had a knife, would you not use it to get the shackles off of you in some fashion?
I don't think she can. I'm pretty sure those are like magic shackles.
But like, I don't know.
But they were open.
I would use it to try to pickpocket something.
So I have a theory behind the numbers and letters on her arms, right? Which don't make sense, okay? Yeah. So if Sophie was working with Danica to uncover the things about the Asteri, which are only in the library of whatever it's called, the Parthos.
Yes, Christina, that's correct.
What if it's like, I mean, they might call it something else, but like, what if it's like the Dewey Decimal System?
Oh my God, Anna. I don't.
I'm serious.
I do agree that it could lead to a book or something. I don't know if it's like little
section
C,
B.
Period 1.
But like, what if she was
on
like
the third
this
row.
Book, this volume?
If you hit The Walking Dead, you've gone too far.
I'm serious.
No, I agree that it could call to a book somehow.
What was your other theory, Anna?
I mean, it could be coordinates. Like, it could be
that's
coordinates
what I
to
think.
Something.
Coordinates. Yeah. Interesting.
To like a
I mean, that makes that's
weapon.
A lot. That's a lot easier than the Dewey Decimal System. But
I mean,
if we're talking about Jessica in the library,
I was gonna say. The mind does go there. I do give you that. I also feel like maybe it's something to do with like, it's going to unlock something. It's going to be like a code. It's going to be like type in, I don't know, something.
Maybe she put like the theory in like a locked box.
Yeah, exactly. Like a thing.
Yeah. Can we talk about them, Bryce and Hunt being sweet, sweet mates?
I loved this. Oh my God.
I loved this for so many reasons, but I love that they chose each other and that it wasn't like this initial fated mate thing, which ends up, I guess, becoming true.
Right.
Anyways.
But that's fine. But it's still like.
It's fine. I kind of would have loved for them to like just be.
Chosen mates.
But it's okay. I bet you it's because like their powers mingle and like that's important.
I agree.
So.
At least we got the chosen mate scene. We haven't even gotten that in any of the other like mate stuff.
When they say I love you for the first time.
Guys,
that was so sweet. I was just pretending that they weren't
sweating. I was gonna say I didn't love
the
I love
you. Let's walk through the heat. Let's talk through the sexy scenes because I have some opinions on this.
Hot takes. Hot being a key word. Hot.
As in
temperature at times, not
of
so much steamy.
Bodies.
So.
Yes.
Just riddle me this. If you were like literally dripping in sweat to the point where you are, you're.
Oh, can we not?
Okay. So if you're dripping in sweat, I won't go into further detail, but if you're that sweaty, like, is that the, ideal time for someone to go down on you for the very first
time.
And no, actually ever. Just ever. Is that ever ideal
I'm going to say ever.
Time hot for take. Someone to never. Go down on you.
I don't think that's a hot take.
I also feel like, I mean, it really, that's what was upsetting to me. I was like, we've waited so long, like grasping it for these like sexy scenes. And then it was like, oh, do we have to be sweaty? Must we be? Like,
it was because, but the line that was worse is that she said she didn't even want to think what her underwear smelled like.
What her leggings and underwear smelled like.
Her leggings and underwear smelled like. And I was like, eh, hard
I'm going to be honest, it took me out.
It took me out too. Agreed. That's what I'm saying. Not into it. I've just never been like that super, like, turned on and into, like, scenes where super, people are super sweaty. Like, he's literally dripping sweat on her. She talks about the pee, like, falling on her. And I'm like, this isn't sexy.
Like, let's go to the shower.
Just like, scoot your boot
over to the shower.
I guarantee you that nice ass gym has a shower.
It's probably got a huge shower.
Just hop in and lather up.
Janica spared no expenses on that apartment.
It's probably got so many shower heads. Yeah.
They probably got a sauna and a steam room.
Like, and I think
just.
I understand.
Come on.
Granted, like all the things he was saying and the things he was doing, all the things was hot and I appreciated that. I just wish they weren't so sweaty. And I also was then taken out of it by the sweatiness to where I was like, oh, don't say I love you now. I like that you're saying it. I do love that you love each other. But, like, I wish that it was, like, that night in bed when they were being cute. Or like
even immediately after. Immediately after. He collapses on top of her. Still, fine, you can still be sweaty if that's clearly your thing. He collapses on top of her, and she looks at him, and she's like, I love you.
Agreed. It did kind of, to me, read as, like, wow, you are so good with your tongue. I feel so good. And I am on this elated plane that I'm like, God, I love you. Like,
love you.
That's, which, you know, I'm sure is valid. But I also, I love that they love each other. And I love so much the mate conversation. I wish that maybe the I love you wasn't during the sweaty other time.
The phone sex was really hot.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That was honestly the best of the three.
What was the other one? What was before the gym?
The one where Ethan's in the other room
and he like yells.
Okay, so first, so she's going down on Hunt and it's hot.
Oh,
like,
that one was good. That one was good,
And so then like they stop or whatever. And
it's so funny.
And Ethan is like, so Ethan's staying at the apartment with
him.
Ethan yells out from the next room and he's like, please have sex louder. I don't think I heard every bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then like Hunt says like, I'm going to fuck your brains out or something. Yeah. And Ethan yells, that sounds medically dangerous.
I lost it. It was so good. And then we say like so eventually funny. Kick him out. So the, I mean, he goes to live with Rue, which is adorable. But like the little bromance. But like I love when she's like, oh yeah, sorry for sexiling you.
Yeah,
like it's really funny. But wait, the mate talk though. Back to the mate conversation.
Oh,
it's so good and it's so sweet and like does anyone have the quotes from it?
Yes, I'm pulling. I got it right here.
The words that they say are so
beautiful,
and that's something she does so well with these characters in particular compared to the other romantic leads. Is it feels like just so realistic the way they talk about it, even though they're talking about Faye and fated mates and stuff. It still feels realistic the way they're saying
100%. It feels like a real
couple
conversation that real people would have.
There are so many like really sweet moments when they start like talking about like there's a couple. So one of the I love this one though where Hunt talks about being in love with her, and he's like, I've been in love with you for a while. And he says, I was very attached to you during our investigation, but when Sanjula had me in that cell under the comitium, she put on the fucked up slideshow of all the photos on my phone of you and me. And I watched it and knew. I saw the photos of us toward the ends, how I was looking at you and you were looking at me, and it was a done deal.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, Hunt.
Also, we saw that slideshow. We know, Hunt.
We love that slideshow.
I know. It's so great. And then she's like, what are we? What are we calling ourselves? I love this, like, DTR, like, define the relationship talk.
And
it's
she's
amazing.
Like, I can't call you my boyfriend. That's
he's like, that's too young. Yeah. And he says, what about mate?
Yes.
And, like, you have to remember, like, angels, there was a discussion a lot earlier in the book where they're talking about mates. And angels have mates, but they're not, like, in the fae sense of the word. Angels to a mate is just, like, a marriage.
Right.
In Faye's sense of the world, it's like in any of other like SJM's books, like it is a deep like soul bond.
Yeah.
And so he says that to her and she like stills and she's like like, okay, like, really? Because that's like an intense thing for me. And he says, does it scare you calling me your mate? Her gaze dipped to the space between them, and she said quietly, you're the one who's been defined by others people by other people's terms for centuries. Fallen, slave, umbra immortis. I just want to make sure it's a title you're cool with having forever.
Very considerate.
I know. He kissed her temple, breathing in her scent. Of everything I've ever been called, Quillen, your mate will be the one I truly cherish.
Oh, I love that line. Saying, that's my favorite.
The sweetest thing ever. My favorite. And she's like, did you hear the forever part? And he's like, I thought that's what this thing was between.
Yeah.
Forever.
God, I love that so much. And then just like, it's like choosing to be his
mate. He's so proud. Like the next morning, he like, he can't wait to call her his mate. He like wants to introduce her, like yell it from the street.
Can't wait to go tell
her. But they get interrupted because like duty calls.
They get interrupted a lot. But like, oh my God. Yeah, they do. It's so sweet.
Constantly.
I just loved how this went down. I loved how they decided to be mates and how they were having this like real realistic conversation laying in bed, and just it was so romantic. I loved it. I really did. Yeah.
It's really it's kind of interesting because like yes, they choose each other, but then it makes sense. Like I think I was commenting to you guys, she keeps sensing his power, like his like this buzz of electricity or this like kind of like warmth along her body, like whenever. And I'm wondering if that is kind of the deeper mating bond that they have that then comes up later.
I think it's that and their powers being connected.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also love how Rune is like, no.
Yeah.
Your mates. Like, I smell it.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I can smell it.
Yeah.
So I love at the very end of part two when, like, Hunt, I mean, he, like, loses it because Bryce's life is in danger.
Yes.
And he goes, like, crazy animalistic. Like, there's nothing, like, there's just like lightning behind his eyes, like his irises are all white.
Yeah.
And Rune is just like keeps like glancing every like Therian, Rune, all the guys are like glancing at Hunt, glancing at Bryce, and Bryce is just like, dude, like Hunt, chill out.
She's like, she's like, calm down.
I picture like all of it with like from their teeth, like calm girl, like
and like Rune starts like mind speaking with Bryce, and he's like, this is how he was that day with Sandriel when he ripped her head off. And she's like, so what's that supposed to mean? And he's like, why don't you tell me? And she's like, you seem like you know what the fuck is happening with him. Rune glared at her as Hunt continued to glow and menace.
Yeah.
And he's like, it means that he's going ballistic in the way that only mates can when their other is threatened. It's what happened then and what's happening now. Your true mates, the way Fae are mates, in your bodies and souls. That was what was different about your scent the other day. Your scents have merged as they do between Fae mates. And she glared at her brother. That. So what? He's like, so find some way to calm him down. Athalar's your fucking problem now.
I really appreciated that from Rune. Because I feel like it, like, confirmed that in a good way. Like, instead of us, like, guessing it, like, that they're true mates and all the things, he's like, no. I'm going to tell you right now that you are. I can spell it, and this is the problem.
So figure it out.
Yeah.
And so then Bryce goes, okay, well, I'm going to bang his brains out. So let's go do that.
Send him to the biodome and lock the doors.
You know, I know what he needs. He just really needs a good fucking. I just got to go. We got to go.
A good
know.
Fucking.
Good, gotta go have sex.
No, I know. I like that it's the commander. The commander's like, why don't you guys have some privacy?
Yeah, she like closes it
off. You look like you need some space.
Okay, why don't you guys go? And then she's like, clear the room, lock the doors, no one's allowed.
Please clear.
Rune like panics. He's like, why are you locking me in? And she's like, I think they need some privacy.
Maybe need some alone time. Do you see what's happening here?
Which I have to say, God, did we have to wait for it. But I was very happy with the sex scene. I think the sex scene itself was great. I enjoyed it.
I did love it.
Oh my God. When she starts like, just like taking off, I was kind of like, own it, Bryce.
Yes.
Like, I loved it. Like she was just like she stands right in front of him and she knows like.
Oh, I loved it.
Like see me for here. I'm safe. And she keeps saying, I'm safe.
I really liked how, we had to wait God knows how long for it, but I did enjoy it. I think it went well. I found it, I was happy with it. Overall.
That the ending that she transported them, like she...
Oh, the sex like, teleporting.
Teleporting.
Yeah.
She teleported them. He's like, Bryce, where the fuck are we? They're like in the like little tunnel or something.
Well, they're like in the throes of love and they're like laying there and he's like, Bryce. And then he just goes, Bryce. And she's like, oh shit, hold on, what? But
I got lost.
They were naked too. You know they're like naked.
Oh no, they're like after that, when they're talking, they're like in wetsuits they found, like in the, like, yeah.
They just like storm in. They're like, what's
but,
up?
But also,
it was then really Cormac's funny, like, though,
oh, so
like,
your powers merged. And she's like, yeah, when I was banging his brains out. And he's like, okay, cool. Yeah, okay, yeah. Fine.
She's like laughing because I think, like, what does Cormac say? Like, you teleported. And he's like, I wonder why you need Athalar's power for teleporting. And she's like, I'm not sure if that's an insult. She's like, if my powers only work when my big, tough male helps me out. And Hunt's like, it can't be romantic.
Yeah, he's like, come on.
That whole combo is so funny.
And she's like, I'm an independent female. And he's like, fine, all right. Let's just say that I'm like some magic token in a video game. And when you, quote, use me, you level up.
Yeah. I actually really like that analogy. I was like, this is fun.
So funny.
She's like, that's the nerdiest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I actually really love that.
Can we talk about their magic merging?
Yes.
Like, he filled with iridescent light. It says Bryce reached a hand toward his blazing wings. Her own fingers, her hand, her arm, they radiated the same light, as if they had become filled with power, as if her light had leaked into him and his into her.
Yes, I love that.
So we all know that, like, their power mingles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, got it. Merging, yeah.
But what does that mean? Like, his wings are now on, like, I'm picturing this, like, an avenging angel, like a fiery angel.
Yeah, totally.
Like, nobody has done that. Like, none of the other archangels, like, light up like that.
Light it up, you know? But I do, light it up. I did light like it up. That it was, like, a very, you know, the weaving of the powers. And while they were having sex in this wonderful, beautiful, sexy time, they were, like, mm-hmm. she says multiple times, like, I was him, he was me, we were the same. Like she talks about them, like, joining together, joining. Then, like, you know, coming together. Oh, my God. I can't stop saying things that are... she talks about them becoming one. I don't know how else to say it. That's not a sexual innuendo.
So funny. I'm going to be very interested to see how they function now in, like, a battle or a war now that powers are, like, whatever this is. Like, I'm interested to see how this is going to play out, like... what does this mean? Like, how are you going to use this?
Like, I imagine, like, this conduit shit is going to be real handy.
Oh, I think it's going to be so cool.
Oh, real handy.
And I think she needs to just, like, take the star sword. Like, sorry, Rune. Like,
I think he's just going to give it to her at some point.
Somebody said it's for Thea's female heir.
Aedas does.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Peleus took the blade killed Thea. And you should not... He looked at Rune. He's like, you should not have it. It belongs to the female line.
Right. Yes, yeah. I do remember this.
It's like not whoever won it out of the cave, but mm-hmm. it's to mm-hmm. Thea's female heir, which is Bryce.
What if, like, she gets the sword, and then what if Ethan gets Danica's sword? Because he was, like, playing with it. Oh,
that was adorable whenever he was playing with the sword.
That'd
be so sweet.
I think she'll give him that sword. I think that'll happen for sure.
I think she will, especially if he gets made alpha of his own pack.
Oh, like, which, God, I hope he does. That was such a good line from the Prime.
Such a cool line.
Oh my, should we talk about Ethan?
Yes.
Let's talk about Ethan.
Little Hallstrom.
Okay. Oh, God. There's just so much about him.
He's a great character in this book, too. Ethan.
He's a little sweetheart.
Some fun little arc from him.
I knew him and Bryce were really good friends, but I had no idea that he pined after her.
Oh, no. I don't think we're supposed to. Yeah. I think, like, it was really an interesting reveal. And you kind of hint, there's little, like, moments where it's, like, hinted.
Well, like, his quote about the sunball game.
Yeah, I love that
That's,
part.
Like, my fate. I actually really love that quote, and I don't know why, because I think it speaks a lot about Connor and Ethan and Hunt.
Totally.
Like, the quote is beautiful, because Bryce is, like, they're having, like, serious conversations, as they always do in this group, and she's like, I'm going to go to the gym, call me if you find anything. Rune watched Hunt glance between her disappearing form and the sunball game, which they're all watching a sunball game, weighing which one to follow. It took Athalar all of 30 seconds to decide. He ducked into his room, saying he was going to change for the gym.
Yeah.
When Rune was alone with Deck and Ethan, his beer half finished, Ethan said, Connor would have picked the game.
Oh.
Rune raised an eyebrow. I didn't realize there was a competition between them. And for some reason, Rune dared ask, what would you have picked? Ethan didn't hesitate. Bryce.
Oh, I love that part. Ooh, it's so good.
That is very, very telling.
Totally.
Very telling.
Yeah. And then that's also, this is not about Ethan, but, like, then that's when he, like, pops out. He's, like, in gym clothes, and she's like, we're not going to the gym. We have stuff to do. Let's go. And then show up in the like, market thing, and Fury's like, why are you in workout clothes? He's like, I thought we were going to the gym. And it's really good.
Yeah. He's like, I was told we were working out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the Hind scene with Ethan was so heartbreaking because, like, that's when you...
Oh.
Also, like, it plays into, like, his guilt with his brother dying.
God, it just felt so cruel to like taunt him with that.
I know.
Moment.
Yeah, like, it was so mean,
and it was.
Oh, and the way she says it.
Oh, it's
she's just, like, she's like loving her, lusting for her from the sidelines, waiting for the day when she would realize that he was the one she was meant to be with, playing his little heart out on the sunball field, hoping she'd notice him at last. But then Big Brother dies.
Oh, so harsh. Like, so harsh.
It's evil. And then she's like, and he hates himself even more, not only for losing his brother, for not being there, but because of the one traitorous thought he had after learning the news that the path to Bryce Quinlan was now cleared. Did I get that part right?
Oh, it's like, so rough. It's so rough.
Like,
which, like,
awful.
Like, how does she know? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's also crazy. Like, poor Ethan, to be sitting there. He's like kind of still trying to look cool in front of Rune at this point. And he's like, right. Yeah.
And she's just slaying his insides out. And he's like, God damn it. Well, like,
he really is, like, he's the little brother of the group still. Yeah. Like, he's constantly referred to as, like, the pup. Like, the wolf.
Oh, yeah,
pup.
Yeah.
And you know that he's, like, just trying to still kind of prove himself. He doesn't want Bryce to see him that way. And he, at no point in this book so far, has he ever, like, played the card or tried to make a play for Bryce's hand, you know?
Yeah, right. And I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will either. Like, he very much realizes that, like, Hunt is her person.
Yeah.
Which makes me respect him because totally. He's not trying to, like, overstep.
Totally.
And they slept in the same room,
oh,
you know?
Oh, that was another thing. And, like, when she was like, oh, no, he's sleeping in my room. And the Hunt's next line was like, it was fine. It was fucking fine. Like,
yeah.
It was
But I was in that moment like, Bryce, why are you pushing this? Don't.
Yeah,
but I do agreed. Agree that to the point you're making of Ethan was literally in her bed next to her and was not making a play.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And I don't think he ever would.
He talked about his brother. He says, like, I think my brother thought you were true mates. Like, my brother thought that you were mates.
Yeah. And that was also rough.
Yeah, that was rough.
I also felt like a little bit like, my God, y'all, this is a little unfair to Bryce. Like, this is a lot to put on her. And thankfully, she doesn't feel, like, immense guilt anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not her fault that he thought that.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Don't put that on her.
Nope.
Like, all she did was accept a date. And now it's like, just, oh, my God, they were one date. Like,
I did, like, whenever Ethan, there was one part where he, like, plopped down on the couch and he looked at Hunt and he was like, just so you know, it took her 5 years to accept one date from my brother. You're only 5 months in, so good luck, bro.
And, yeah, I love that line.
Yeah,
that is great. That.
And then, fun. Like, a week later, they're, like, mates or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought that was hilarious too, Christina.
I like how he's, like, not infiltrated. I like how he's, like, joined the group. Like, I like how he's friends with Declan and Flynn and Rune. And
I love that he moved in with them.
Me too. It's adorable.
Oh, my God. Really the shampoo sweet. Bottles when he moves in with
Rune. Oh, my God. It's so good. So, like, that hysterical. Was one of my favorite parts. Where, like, and it's also hysterical. Great, perfect use of Ethan in that moment, that character, because he's telling us this, like, inner workings of Declan, Flynn, and Rune, who are, like, brothers. They lived together for so long, but he's moved in, so he's seeing this stuff for the first time. But he's, like, talking about, like, Flynn's shampoo bottle in the shower says, like, do not touch, Rune, I mean it this time. And then Rune is written under it, like, nobody wants your fancy shampoo anyway. And he's like, then how comes your hair is so shiny, asshole? Like, it's so funny. Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so great. I love it so much.
And I love that they're, like, he's, like, playing video games with Flynn and Flynn. And, like,
And the way Rune talks about it, he's like, he cleans up after himself. He's a great beer pong player. He's, like, you know, he, like, lists those, like,
he's a great beer pong player. Priorities.
So, but, like, I just like that he's
priorities,
he's, like, now close with all of them. And he needed that, you know? It's
Okay, so Ethan, like, after this whole bone quarter thing, it's, like, obviously really upset him because, like, Connor.
Oh, obviously, They would upset him.
Yeah. So he's, like, worried about Connor's, like, soul and where he is. So they go to, like, the astronomer, the mystic.
This was fucking nuts, y'all.
Nuts. Creepy. And really disturbing.
So,
like,
disturbing.
Really disturbing. Okay, so a few takeaways from this is this asshole dude has fire sprites in a ring and a dragon.
He's trapped them.
I know.
He's trapped. And, like, Bryce, seeing them, like, trapped, like, and she immediately thinks of Lehaba.
I know.
And, like, the little hands inside the glass ring. And I just
was,
like,
so rough.
I wanted to cry. Oh. I just wanted to stomp on those rings and, like, let them out. I love that Ethan was like, like, I'm taking the rings.
Yeah.
But, okay, this whole thing, we meet another prince, okay? We meet,
that other prince of hell.
Thanatos, Thanatos, whatever.
I don't know.
Prince of the Ravine. He's
Prince of the Ravine. And let me tell you, he's the least pleasant one we've met.
Do you know, of all the demon princes. He's not.
He's like, babe. I can't wait to drink your souls like fine wine. I was like, okay.
He's what I think we all thought
they all were.
Princes of Hell would be like.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I think he's pretty stereotypical.
Yes.
Agree.
And I'm very curious to like see if he just screws up everything or, you know, somehow like he tells like Bryce, like you killed like the shepherd, the fluffy, the dog.
He's very upset about the dog.
He's like, you killed it. So I'm going to like, yeah, he's very upset about the dog. And he's like, I'm going to like hold you accountable when we meet on the battlefield. Which Adis was like, Hell's armies are at your command.
But not his.
But not Thanatos, no. Or Prince of the Ravine.
This whole thing with the like, the wool, mystics the, are in mystic. The tubs and like, then we're like and controlling like them around. And then we're putting salt in there. And like, then there's the globes and they're on like the little platforms and like we're going into. And he can talk to them, but he can't talk to them, but they can, like, what their minds are saying can be typed and he's reading it. And it's
I didn't get that.
Fucking creepy. All of it is just so creepy.
It was terrifying. Truly. Yeah. I was very, like, unsettling.
Oh, it's very unsettling, yeah.
Didn't like it. And, like, very quickly you realize, like, Bryce was correct and we should not have come here.
Yeah.
This was a huge mistake.
But, like, but when Ethan goes back and he... remember, like, they pull out the mystics out of, like, their little containers of water or whatever the hell it is. And the mystic, one of them, he sniffs her and he realizes she's a wolf.
Oh, this was nuts. And I was like,
yes, no. She's a wolf and she has alpha. Yeah. Like, she's giving off alpha vibes based on, like, her
dominance. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, apparently, like, her parents sold her when she was 4 years old.
When she was four.
Four.
That's my kid's age. Like, yeah. It's
that
disgusting.
That was really upsetting.
I wanted him to just, like, carry her out.
Me
but, like,
too. I was like, just pick her up.
Pick her up. She's frail. She can't walk.
And she's like, if you take me, my family won't get money for food. And, like, again, he's like,
they're terrible.
I know.
Like, let them starve. Also, like, how long have you been in here? Right. Are they alive?
Are they?
Like, I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, okay, I know this is, like, a really small thing, but The city that Celestina, which we haven't really gone to her yet, is from, is Nena, and that's where this wolf is from.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
Which, I mean, it's probably nothing. It just might be, like, we're using this town because, like, we've already brought it up. And, people don't have to think twice about, like, this other mythical place or whatever. But it's just interesting that, like, she is from there. That's where Celestine is from. Ooh. Hunt is like, let's run away there.
I think something's important with this girl. I think either, like, she's Ethan's mate or she's, like, or she's, like, somewhat, like, the whole thing where Bryce talked to the Prime about, like, why the people were erased from the family tree and the blah, 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 blah. Like, maybe she's tied
very
into
interesting
that
conversation.
Situation. Yes. Like, she was erased because she was taken to be a mystic. Like, I don't know. Like, I think she's, like, somehow important.
Let's touch upon the Prime, that conversation with, because... That was really interesting, and he makes comments about, like, what they are now is not the way that they used to be, like, the shifters themselves, and that they've lost their true, like, purpose, I guess, and that he basically talks about kind of, like, having collars around their necks that are, like the Asteri control, and that, like, they've lost their true, like, sense of self because they, like, have had to do terrible things. What I took was, like, in the name of the Asteri.
Totally.
And so curious if, like, Danica, if that is something Danica was researching. Like, what does it mean? What did she find out? Why are these people erased from history? Like her ancestors.
Yeah. And then he goes, he's like, you didn't ask me why they were erased.
Yeah.
What does he say is the reason?
We did unspeakable things during the first wars. We yielded our true nature, lost sight of it, then lost it forever, became what we are now. We say we are free wolves, yet we have the collar of the Asteri around our necks. Yeah. Their leashes are long, and we let them tame us. Now we do not know how to get back to where we were, what we might have been. That was what my grandfather told me, what I told Sabine, though she did not care to listen, what I told Danica, who I think she might have led us back, you know, to what we were before we arrived here and became the Asteri's creatures inside and out.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Fast. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
Oh, yep.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
And also,
but this is important. Sorry. Okay. One little thing he said. She says, "Is that what Danica wanted?" And he says, "I don't know. Danica trusted no one except you."
Oh.
Which I feel like, you know, segueing into Danica.
Yeah.
This book has been tricky because we are only seeing Bryce's point of POV, right? When it comes to her feelings about Danica because Danica's dead.
Right.
And I feel for Bryce. Like, she, multiple times, she is learning things about her best friend that are things that, like, you would think you would know about your ride or die.
Yeah. Like, right? Also, I feel like we went through this in the first book of her being like, do I trust her? Do I not? I do. And now we're doing it again. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, can't we just trust her? My God.
I feel like we are supposed to feel what Bryce is feeling right now because she's learning things in real time about Danica, the person like she thought. And it's a grieving thing too, right? Danica's not there to answer for this. Danica, she can't ask questions. All she can take are like the, or what Ethan tells her, what the Prime tells her, what she learns through Jessica and through the college papers that Danica wrote and kept secret. But I've got to think that SJM did not give us this beautiful moment between two best friends and like this lighted up moment. And I feel like she is not going to rip that out from under us. That everything Danica has done or in her past is somehow going to come out that like she has been protecting Bryce because she's a bloodhound and was able to sniff out Bryce's true lineage. Yeah, very interesting. Crazy. And like, or something that like she knew something that could turn the tide of the war and help Bryce, but it had to happen at a certain, like at certain points, like she couldn't just like let it out because things could implode.
Yeah. No, I don't think.
I have to believe that.
I don't think that Danica's going to be bad. I don't think she'd ever do that to us. Like, I don't think she's going to be bad,
but I don't want her to be like a shit friend because then what was the whole point of the first book? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think it just seemed to me like I got the sense, and I know this is what Sarah wanted us to think, is that like we didn't know Danica at all. Bryce didn't know Danica at all. Like, and again, I like you said, Anna, like I think that's very much on purpose, and we trust SJM to deliver, and I do think it's probably going to be all for Bryce and all for the greater good. But like right now, I mean, I was texting you all and I was like, my God, this girl is leading like double lives all over the damn place. Like she's involved in so much more shit than we ever even thought in book one. And she was involved in some shit in book one.
Yeah.
And then it's like, she's researching synth for the laboratories. And now she's helping the rebels with Sophie. And it's like, she was Bryce's best friend. They were together all the time doing drugs and partying.
When did she have time to do these things? When did she have time? Did you sleep?
Like,
I don't think she slept.
Must not have.
I mean, it was like when Therian found her name in Sophie's emails, I was like, are you joking me?
I loved it. That was crazy.
Oh, it was amazing.
I think we're supposed to feel like that. I think we're supposed to be like, oh, girl, who are you? Where do you come from? Where'd you go?
Yeah.
Cotton Eye Joe. But I think that, like,
because it hits hard. It's hard. I mean,
I think she has an agenda just like everybody else. And like, a lot of the people have commented to her, like, it was probably because of you. Like, she was probably wanting to keep you safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then did she know what Bryce was?
No, I think she knew.
What is Bryce?
We don't know.
Exactly.
Again, we don't know. But no, she knew immediately who Rune was to Bryce.
Right.
The second that they met.
Right.
So once we find out that, like, Danica was, like, looking for books in the library when, you know, Bryce was conveniently, like, busy or something, and it's, like, the book on the wolf lineage, okay? So, like... Right. So we've already touched upon that. And like she goes and not talks to the Prime. One of the things she calls Jessica and she's like, she mentions like, well, what if, you know, she's talking about like looking for enemies. And Bryce says, well, Danica wasn't your enemy. And Jessica says, who said I was talking about Danica?
Mm.
And Bryce says, well, then Sabine.
Yeah.
And she's like, and it says Jessica laughs. You are so very young.
Yeah.
And like hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
Like, I have been around the block. Sabine is nothing compared to, like, who I or whatever I am referencing.
But what are you referencing?
What are you referencing?
Like, who are you talking about? Like, what enemy? And, like, if Danica was researching this enemy and, like, Jessica did know about it.
It has to be the Asteri.
So either she knew that Danica was, like, snooping around and just chose not to say anything because, like, it was for her also, like, maybe a common goal.
Yeah.
Or there is... I don't know. I'm just, oh, Jezebel. She's fascinating. I'm so curious to learn more about
Me
her.
Me too. Hopefully, like, we'll.
Why did she switch sides? Yeah.
We'll get that.
So, and also someone else that is so interesting to me is Fury. Who is
what
Fury?
What is Fury? And Danica knows something about her.
Yeah. Like, well, I think that has to be the Bloodhound something. Like,
no, it is. Because she says, like, she sniffed, like, that's how she knows Fury knew that Danica was a Bloodhound.
Yeah, because she smelled something and probably called her out. Because no one knows what kind of veneer, like, Fury
could she be a Thunderbird? Thunderbirds mask themselves as human.
I don't trust her. I just don't trust Fury at all. I didn't like that all their reconciliation happened off page. Like, felt like we went into book two and her mom, like, asked her, like, how are things with Fury? Yeah. And she's like, things with Fury took a while, but, like, we're in a better place. And I'm like, no. Like, because every conversation they have is, like, very kind of tense and, like, loaded. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't seem like they're...
like besties. Yeah.
Like besties. Like, it just is... Fury seems like such a detached, cold character.
Yeah.
Agreed. There's something big about Fury that we're not... we don't know, and it's gonna be some reveal, but, like, at this point, I don't really emotionally care about her that much. So, like,
no.
I don't really know what this big reveal is gonna... like, if they're like, oh my god, something happened to Fury, like, that's sad for June. Like, you know, like, I don't...
yeah,
you know, yeah. I don't think I'm not emotionally attached to her yet, so I don't know like how this big reveal is going to land. But we'll see, whatever it is.
The only other thing I want to talk about with Ethan is that I love that Bryce went to the Prime and like finally somebody is like telling on Sabine and how horrible she is and what she did to Ethan, and then the Prime calls Ethan, and he's like, "I want you back," you know, and he's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he's like, "I want you to be alpha of your own pack."
I love that,
and he's like, who would even be in the pack? But I love that. He was like, I'll make it work with Sabine, like, if that's what you want to do. And, like, I love that because I was like, finally, somebody is, like, seeing what Sabine is doing. Even if the Prime is too old to really, like, obviously challenge Sabine.
But it was so, it felt so needed in that moment for Ethan
and
for us.
It felt so needed. And at least he has options. Like, he doesn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he meets the mystic, who's a wolf and like an alpha. And I'm like, what's going to happen?
I was like, she could be in your pack.
She could be in your pack. Yeah. That's two people.
You'll be great.
And two. It's a small pack, but you know, like a packlet, but it could be fine.
And when Bryce and Ethan kind of stood up together to Sabine, and Bryce to Sabine was like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you worried that I'm going to convince the entire pack that Ethan's clearly the best leader for them, not you, because that's what you should be scared of. And Ethan's like, what the fuck? But in that moment, I was like, yes, that is what should be happening. Can we make that happen?
I agree. Yeah. Yes, that is what should be happening. So I'm like, maybe that could happen. And then like, and I could just sense it, like, I don't know, that Ethan like needs this. Like he needs like to be back with his people and like in a pack.
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
Okay. So can we need to talk about Daybright, because like,
Who is
Daybright?
Man, I'm going back and forth. It is, in my head, is an emotional roller coaster of who Daybright is.
Oh, Daybright.
Okay, so initially, when we first met Daybright with Rune, I was like, oh, she's Hypaxia. Like, 100%, she's Hypaxia. We haven't seen her yet in this book.
Because he said, like, your voice sounds familiar, but who
your
are
voice
you?
Sounds familiar.
Or, like, her scent or something? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, he recognizes her scent and her voice.
Yeah.
Which would be, Hypaxia would then be the obvious choice, right? Because he knows her scent and he knows what she sounds
also,
like.
Also, where is Hypaxia?
Where is Hypaxia? And she's a witch. So, like, I don't know. Like, I guess theoretically, like, maybe she can, like, do some witchy thing to, like.
Yeah. But now we know she's half necromancer, so maybe that's a part of it. I don't know.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So, again, if it's Hypaxia, would not be surprised. Like, that would be, I feel like that's more of the obvious. Yeah.
I think that's a more obvious choice. It's not as interesting, but.
We have some backups.
No, we have some backups. So I don't know why I'm really, really, like, willing to die on this hill that it's the Hind, which, bear with me, listeners.
I need you to, like, tell me about this more, because I'm a little confused.
She sucks. She has not shown us that much. No, really, we've seen glimpses of, like, things in her, but, like, in the Hind when she talks to, like, Hunt, but...
oh, like, I have seen nothing.
For the most part, she's, like, an asshole.
Yeah.
And she's straight up awful. But that would be such an amazing plot twist if she ended up being Daybright.
Yeah.
So here's why.
Okay.
I've been building up the facts, or, like, my supporting evidence.
State your case.
Okay. So the big thing is she's clothed in flame, right? Daybright.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's this flame being. And a few times when people are talking to the hind, they note this like unholy fire is like lit behind her eyes.
Right. Okay. Right. That's
interesting.
That's good. Yeah.
Also, the big thing for me is when Rune and Daybright are talking. She's like, they're talking about themselves and kind of just like whatever. She goes, "So long that I think I've forgotten what it feels like to be myself. I think I've lost my true self entirely. To destroy monsters, we become monsters." Ooh. Isn't that what they say?
Ooh.
So you put that, okay, with the another scene where Rune and Daybright are talking, and all of a sudden she like crumples in pain. And then you find out, like, she comes back and she just had, like, really rough, like, sex.
Yeah.
And he, like, it's so sweet. He, like, rushes over to, he's never, like, crossed the barrier of the two of them. Like, they always stay on their opposite sides. And he, like, rushes over to her and, like, he hits this, like, wall of adamant. And he, like, collapses. And he's like, "Are you all right?" She's like, "Yes." He's like, "What was that?" And she's, like, trying to make light of it. And she's like, "You've never heard of sex before." And he keeps saying, like, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And it brings me back to the hind and Pollux.
Yeah.
And how they are always seen together. It's known. It's very public that they have, like, a sexual relationship.
Yeah, like, they talk about it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And with this scene, like, and how she, like, the rough sex and, like, have you, and she says, like, "Have you never been, like, had to have sex with someone you don't want to?"
Yeah.
And Brune's like, "No, why? Like, that's terrible."
Yeah.
And she's like, "We all have to do things." And it goes back to this line of monsters, and she feels like she's lost herself entirely.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if she's had to create this persona to be what she is with the Asteri.
Maybe. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know why. I want it to be her. It would be so interesting.
I think it's a good theory. I do.
And Bryce has a comment where she notes, she goes, "The Hind's amber eyes gleamed as they met Bryce's, as if she knew every thought in her head."
Oh, interesting.
I'm wondering if the Hind has like a secret power like Rune does that she's kept secret this whole time, and it's that she's a mind reader.
And that's how she can do the mind speak thing with Rune. That's how she could
the mind speak thing with Rune. If she's Daybright, like, that's how she could do that. That's how she knows all these
truths.
Oh,
that's a very good, that's a good tally in your sign.
Yeah.
It is.
And when she finds them after the Rebels thing, like, right on the Wave Skinner, she purposefully leaves the boat with Pollux and the Harpy and goes to see them. So she's the only one who knows that they're bad. Granted, we have not read past part two, so we don't know how this turns out and whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, she's the only one. So she could plausibly deny that, like, it's Hunt because nobody else would know.
Right.
So, like, I'm curious to see how this plays out in part three. That will answer my question, probably.
I just can't see her murdering Sophie. And
that's the part I can't rectify.
Yeah.
I think it's Celestina.
I don't know.
And I think that because...
That's very interesting.
That's a really good guess, too.
I think Hind would be the most interesting choice. Interesting and not obvious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not Hypaxia and she doesn't want to go that route, I think it's Celestina because she has a conversation with, I think it's Bryce, when Bryce goes into her office and she says, like, "How's it going with...
Yeah. Ephraim.
Is it Ephraim?
That's a good conversation, yeah. Ephraim.
And she says, like, "He's been my friend for a long time, and I'm learning new things about him every day." And she says it in a way that's, like...
Interesting.
And they're obviously expected to mate and, like, produce...
Yeah. They're having sex.
They're having sex.
Yeah. Interesting.
And... she seems very proper, just like Daybright does.
Just like Daybright.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have to operate under the idea that Celestina is also good.
Right.
Yeah, which I'm on the fence about. But yes, she hasn't done anything bad.
Well, she did make Hunt.
No.
I don't know. I didn't really like the...
Well, yeah, I just thought that was like...
I think that was
Ephraim. I didn't like that.
I think that was Ephraim that was offended by that and wanted to punish Hunt for leaving. Yeah. I don't know.
Listen, it's got to be somebody we know. I would hope it's somebody we know.
If it's a random person, I'm going to be so mad.
I'm going to be so mad.
I'm really curious.
I hope we learn who it is in this book.
Yes, I hope so too.
Fingers crossed. Okay, who have we not talked about? Who do we have?
I really like Baxian.
I like him.
And you know, I have to say, listening to the Audible, if you haven't, he has a Cockney accent and it makes him very endearing. It makes him like the little scrappy friend that pops up everywhere. It's cute.
It's
very cute. I really like him and I want him to be good. I think he's trying to help.
I think he's trying to help.
Please don't betray us, Baxian.
Yes.
So we've like already talked about like most of the stuff that happens at the end, except that like I really want to learn more about the Ocean Queen. Like, this whole, yes. like, the fact that this, like, a city, like, it's a sub, I'm just, so just, like, a squid-like.
So cool.
It's, like, a squid-like submarine.
Yeah. Yes. Also, so smart, and it, like, hides itself in the rocks, and then the one commander captain girl to Therian is pretty much like, mm-hmm. yeah, sucks to be you. I like my queen, and I like my
yes. working.
Yeah.
And yes. he's like, oh, shit, really? Like, that's wonderful.
And she seemed to really, like, pity him because he yeah. was, you know, she says something like, I'm sorry that your queen has abused your trust so much that, like, you don't believe her. And yeah. he's like, well, yeah. I'm sorry that you're naive enough to believe everything your queen says. And she still just looks at him with, like, pity.
Yeah.
And he changes
yeah.
the subject. And she's like, you know, there will always be a place for you here if you ever need us. And I'm like, stay on the ship. Stay with no. them. Don't stay. Go back.
Why are you going back, Therian?
Please don't go back to the River Queen's daughter who just crashed.
It's awful.
Like, also, our little Ariel.
Right, Christina, you're the one that said it. Well, there's texted
this part
where
she's talking to the River Queen, and she's
yeah.
telling him things, and he just looks up through the water to the land and the sky above, and like the where the people are, and like it's just like I forgot.
I want to be where the people are.
And he's literally like dreaming about going on land, and she's like, "Is it so great up there?" And he like looks down. I just pictured him with his red hair and like. Yeah, underwater yeah. and like I was like, oh my god, he's the Little Mermaid. He is Ariel in the Little Mermaid. Oh my god, he's the little Disney princess. And she's Ursula. And okay, anyways, okay, yeah, what's some other stuff like that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, this is just an interesting thing that like Ada says that like I maybe it'll come up in part three. He says hell is another world, another planet, which we knew.
Uh-huh,
right.
Uh-huh.
Ada said so months ago. Oh, I guess maybe this is Bryce talking, sorry. The demons worship different gods than we do, but what happens when the worlds overlap? When demons come here, do their gods come with them? And all of us, the Vanir, we all came from elsewhere. We were immigrants into Midgard. But what became of our home worlds, our home gods? Do they still pay attention to us, remember us?
Oh, very interesting.
Which is so very fascinating.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
And goes back quote. To this whole, like, Thur thing and yes. Hunt. And Hunt is, like, noted... when he, like, goes all, like, alpha hold mating thing, Rune says, lightning wrapped around Hunt's head. Rune's heart stalled a beat as it lingered, like a crown, making of Hunt an anointed primal god.
Yes.
So.
I think he's a deity.
I think he's a god.
They say. Yes. They bring up the halo thing multiple
three
times.
Three times, I think, at least.
Multiple
three
times.
Times
I'm
at
like,
least.
Okay, there's got to be. It.
And yeah. Anus brings it up in book one.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that black crown upon your head?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So part three.
So,
guys, we
I
did it.
I cannot wait to start it.
We're going to go start it so right wait. Now, listeners. We can't so, wait to talk to you about
yeah,
it.
I cannot obviously. Wait to be proven wrong on almost all my things.
No, we don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
So yeah, the next episode will obviously be on part three mm-hmm. of the book, plus epilogue and bonus chapters, because we all have a copy of...
The different editions.
Different editions.
Very excited.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that is it for now. And until next time, follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Light it up.
Light it up, bitches.